children. Children, you are dismissed to your classroom. Some children are still here. We are in our still in our series of the Book of James, Radical Change, Change from the Inside Out. The Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, always reminded in his letter, in the Book of James, that if you belong to Jesus, there will be internal change, and your internal change will reflect in your life. Amen? And the beauty of expository preaching is that it is not your agenda, it is God's agenda. I say that as my disclosure, because the topic is always bumpy. You know, I don't know if you have any bruises to show because of the Book of James. I have plenty, but I'm learning to appreciate James. So, James 4, 11 to 12, it reads, this is the Voice translation. My brothers and sisters, do not assault each other with criticism. If you decide your job is to accuse and judge another believer, then you are a self-appointed critic and a judge of the law. If so, then you are no longer a doer of the law and subject to its rule. You stand over it as a judge. Verse 12, know this, there is one who stands supreme as judge and lawgiver. He alone is able to save and to destroy. So who are you to step in and try to judge another? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your people. We thank you for the songs that we were able to sing. We thank you for your sovereign hand, Lord God, for protecting us and bringing us here in this building and providing this building for us, for waking us up today and still giving us another day to be with our loved ones. And more importantly, Lord God, we thank you for another day that we are able to praise you and worship you. And now, Father, as I speak of the message, your message to your people, I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Please open the hearts of your people. Clear their minds, Father God. Humble all of us, Lord God, and let us receive your message for us. Though they hear my voice, Father, I pray that they will hear you. Forgive me, Lord God, for my sins are many. Forgive us, Lord God, for the sins that we've committed. Guide us and be pleased with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. I entitled our message this afternoon, Judge Me, Judge Me Not. It reminds me of the She Loves Me or She Loves Me Not. I don't know if you guys did that before. I did that a lot because I didn't know how to talk to my crushes, you know. I just liked them from afar. So I would pick up a sunflower and I'll say, she loves me, she loves me not. She loves me. And then if you're running out, it's going to be she loves me not. You're like, I forgot. I forgot where I was, right? So we switched that to judge me, judge me not. You know, in this church, we always say that we believe that the Bible is our ultimate authority. Because in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is given by God. And all scripture is useful for teaching and for showing people what is wrong in their lives. This is the easy-to-read version. It is useful for correcting faults and teaching the right way to live. You see, Christians, we are just not saved by grace to do whatever we want. The Bible shows us how to live. Using the scriptures, those who serve God, and that is you, if you're a believer, you are serving God, will be prepared and will have everything they need to do every good work. We believe that. We confess that. We say, to know Christ, to become like him, to make him known. And where did we get that? Not from C.S. Lewis. We got that from the Bible. And in Romans 12, 4 to 5, it says here, each one of us has one body, and that body has many parts. These parts don't all do the same thing. In the same way, we are many people, but in Christ, we are all one body. We are the parts of that body, and each part belongs to all others. We also believe as a church that we need to belong to a church body. This is why we're all here. The Lord is the one that chooses the body that we will belong to. And once we get plugged into that church body, we have different functions. This is what Romans is saying. And in here, and Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 12:27, all of you together are the body of Christ. All of us. Each one of you is a part of that body. Right now, in this past 8 years, for us as a small congregation, it's been me who's been assigned to pastor the church, right? But there have been many behind me. The people in the media, John and John in the music, and the deacons, the kitchen ministry, the security ministry. There's everybody has a role. All because we know that this is what is written down in the Bible, and we abide. We abide by the word. Amen? So the title, right? Judge me, judge me not. I read James 4:11 to 12. James was pretty clear. It seemed like he's pretty clear that we are not to judge each other, right? Should I just close in prayer? Question. Are we supposed to judge another believer? Yeah? The quick answer is, only God can judge me. Did you know that that's one of the most popular verses there? Even the atheists, they don't know that there is reciting a Bible verse. Judge me not. And that's what James said. Other than John 3:16, that's the one of the popular verses. The answer is no and yes. That's the politician's answer. No. No and yes. So that's going to be our journey. So there's a lot of verses here. I'm going to try to just read the verses, put in a little bit of my thoughts, but there's plenty of verses, okay? Again, here's the verse that I read. Next slide. There you go. He says there, right? Do not assault each other with criticism. Now, what does slander mean? To slander and judge one another is totally incongruous or incompatible or unbecoming to the humble spirit God desires. Furthermore, to judge another is actually a judgment of God's law itself. His law is a mandate over all people. No one dares to assume a haughty position over the law. The slanderer is sentenced by the law. The self-styled judge is jeopardized by the law. Only the humble person is honored. True justice is rendered when a believer subjects himself to God in humility and obedience. This is from John F. Walvoord and Roy Beazock. Not my idea, it's theirs. It's how they interpret the whole. Because if you're trying to study the Bible, you just don't go with one verse, right? You see one verse, and then you compare it to the other teachings in the Bible itself. The Bible is the best reference to check itself. No one else, and nothing else. Now, here's an illustration. So the first answer, no. We are not to judge. This is Luke 18:9 to 14. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer: I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, adulterers. I'm certainly not like the tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. Good Christian there, huh? But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, "Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. These are the words of Jesus Christ. This is one of his parables. James, Jesus' half-brother, the apostle James, the pastor James, of that church that he wrote to, he got a word that people were slandering each other. Christians, believing Christians, were hurting each other through their words. Henceforth, he said, you're not supposed to be doing that. And he's pretty much in line with his Lord, right? Because as you see, judgment here, the judgment that we are not to do towards each other is condemnation of another believer. Now again, Jesus showed us with the woman that was caught in adultery in John 8, 3 to 11. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman who had been caught committing adultery. And they made her stand before them all. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. In our law, Moses commanded that such a one must be stoned to death. Now, what do you say? They said this to trap Jesus so that they could accuse him. But he bent over and wrote on the ground with his finger. As they stood, they were asking him questions. He straightened up and said to them, whichever one of you has committed no sin may throw the first stone at her. Then he bent over again and wrote on the ground. What did he write? Do you know? He said, Jesus was here. No, it's the best preaching that written down that nobody knows. When they heard this, they all left. They all left one by one. The older ones first. Jesus was left alone with the woman, still standing there. He straightened up and said to her, where are they? Is there no one left to condemn you? No one, sir, she answered. Well then, Jesus said, I do not condemn you either. Go, do not sin again. Sometimes we forget, which is just the sinful nature. We forget how we got to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because we've been living our lives, you know, in that straight and narrow. In this new year, the one thing that we need to stop, continue to walk in that straight and narrow if you have to. Continue to be strict with yourself. Continue to be strict with your guidelines that you know God has revealed to you. But stop condemning others who are not. Condemning meaning making yourself feel better by looking at someone lesser than you. Because that's when pride comes. Remember, in James 4, this is where James, the Apostle James, shared that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Remember? Now, I have here in my notes, emphasize the missing man. But yeah, let's forget that. What does judgment mean? The word in Greek says krino. It's properly to distinguish and decide, or by mentally or judicially, by implication, to try to condemn, punish, avenge, conclude, to damn, to determine. Sometimes that is what we like doing. That's it right there. That is what we like to do. We like to condemn others. And that is a judgment that we Christians are not supposed to do. Because, again, James, right? This is in James 4, 6. This is in Peter, in 1 Peter 5, 5. This is also Psalm 138, 6. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When you are judging someone to condemn them, you are being prideful. When you are saying, I always make it to church on time, why can't you not make it on time? With that condescending tone, right? I've been obedient to God for this many years. Why can't you? Like, again, putting them down. Now, obviously, there's a second part in this message, right? The second part of this message is the yes. But to stick with the no first, we have to understand this, okay? The message that we're trying to get out there is when you judge someone, there is that wrong notion when you are trying to condemn the brother and sister. Do not slander. What is slandering? It can be called many things, such as backstabbing, mudslinging, bad-mouthing, and it could also include condemning someone. Whatever it is, it doesn't sound good for the pages of Scripture. We believers are commanded to not practice or partake in evil talk, which is slander. Amen? This new year, you have attended, your church attendance is perfect. Amen? Amen. It is. You have, if God comes tomorrow, He'll say, did you attend church yesterday for the whole year of 2024? Your answer is yes. You get another room in your mansion. But this new year, be intentional. If you have the sin of slandering people, this is the year to stop it. But it won't make sense to you if you don't know God. It won't make sense to you if God's that important. It won't make sense to you if you don't love God, because without love for God, you can't love others. Here's a verse. Exodus 23:1. Don't tell lies against other people. If you are a witness in court, don't agree to help a bad person tell lies. Just because they're rich, you favor them. Just because you have a nice gift coming in Christmas from them, you side with them. Don't tell lies. Proverbs 10:18. People sometimes lie to hide their hatred. But saying bad things about someone is even more foolish. This is when they say, you know, I'm just being honest. I'm just being honest. I'm going to say whatever the rudest thing is about this person. I'm just being honest. Romans 1:28-32. People did not think it was important to have a true knowledge of God. So God left them and allowed them to have their own worthless thinking. And so they do what they should not do. They are filled with every kind of sin, evil, greed, and hatred. They are full of jealousy, murder, fighting, lying, and thinking the worst things about each other. They gossip and say evil things about each other. They hate God. They are rude, proud, and brag about themselves. They invent ways of doing evil. They don't obey their parents. They are foolish. They don't keep their promises. And they show no kindness or mercy to others. They know God's law says that anyone who lives like that should die. But they not only continue to do these things themselves, but they also encourage others who do them. I think it's pretty clear. It's a command. Do we agree? Amen? Amen. You heard it. Even if you didn't say amen, you heard it. You heard it. If you need my manuscript, I'll email it to you. But these are all the words of God. This is not my opinion. This is no one else's opinion. These are the words of God. In 2024, as we walk this life that God has given to us, as we live another year, Lord willing, we have to understand that the one thing that we need to change, other than our plans for financial gain, that we have to run by God, remember last week's message? Other than the vacations that we would like to have with our loved ones that God has given us the privilege to have, let us plan for this new year to stop slandering others. Because you know why? Slandering and slanderers are doing the devil's work. One of the names of Satan is the accuser of the brother. And one of his work is to slander God. The intentions of God. When he spoke to God about Job, he's only obeying you because you've blessed him tremendously. Remove his blessings and see him curse you to your face. When he slandered God towards Eve, he said, are you sure? Surely you won't die. God doesn't want you to be like him. That's why he's telling you not to eat of the fruit. God is making your life to become boring. That's why he's telling you not to do this, not to do that. He wants your life to be miserable. slandering. Now here's more verses, right? More convincing. 1 Timothy 3:11, in the same way the women must have the respect of others. They must not be women who speak evil about other people. They must have self-control and be women who can be trusted in everything. This discusses the women of the deacons and the elders of the church. This is when Paul was saying the importance of leadership at church. And this is when he named out the qualifications of what a leader and an elder should be. And he was pretty clear that even the wives of leaders. Now, I'm not trying to make fun of women here. This is Paul, okay? Bring it up to him when you see him. But, you know, the tendency of slandering and gossiping, most of the time it's associated with women. But you know, to the sad truth, some men act like women. Stop with the amen. Don't make eye contacts. Okay. How was 2 Timothy 3:2? People will love only themselves and money. They will be proud and boast about themselves. They will abuse others with insults. They will not obey their parents. They will be ungrateful and against all that is pleasing to God. Insulting someone is slandering. Sometimes you have to wonder, like when you're praying and then God is not answering your prayer, one of the conditions, one of the things that you need to focus on, right, is okay, is it God's will? Right? Not my will, Lord, but your will be done. The second thing is, am I sinning? Is there sin in my life that I'm exercising and doing, which is why God's not blessing me? And you know what? It could be as subtle or as obvious, or because you've been doing it for so long, it's been your hobby to talk about people and their life. It's your afternoon news. It's your magazine at the break room. It's your TV daily show. Slandering, insulting. It's a sin. Titus 2:3. Also, teach the older women to live the way those who serve the Lord should live. They should not go around and saying bad things about others or be in the habit of drinking too much. They should teach what is good. In our church, it's very diverse. And our age bracket is diverse, which is, praise God, I praise God for that. There's moms, there's uncles, there's aunties, there's babies, there's teenagers, right? It's perfect. And the charge goes to the mature. The older people in every church, like our church, and we have a lot of wise older people here, there is a charge there that there should not be slandering because young people are watching you. Whether you're mature in the faith or not, when they see you, especially our culture in the Philippines, right? An older person, automatically mature. They know what they're saying. They know what they're doing. We see them as examples. In chapter 5, verse 9 of James, brothers and sisters, don't complain against each other. If you don't stop complaining, you will be judged guilty. And the judge is ready to come. You know when the Israelites went out from Egypt, what did they like doing? They kept grumbling. They kept complaining. They forgot that they are now free versus when they were slaves. They even said, why did you take us out from Egypt only to kill us here? It was better to be in Egypt. We were eating meat there. Now here we just get cereal or wafers, the manna, right? It's bread. I want rice. This is hard. They kept complaining. And what did God do with their grumbling? They got punished. 40 years. Instead of a 9-week journey, 40 years. 40 years. As little and as small as we think complaining is, we are sinning. This new year, this 2024, maybe ask God to remove that. Lord, take this complaining spirit about me. You know, just take it out, Lord. If only you would just change my husband. You stop it. You just stop it. Just tell God, Lord, change me. Is it clear? I said it earlier. There's a lot of bruises now. I've had a lot of bruises as I studied the book of James. But you know, just like when you're hiking, right? When you're hiking, the path at times, it's not smooth, right? There's bumps on that path. But because of those bumps, you are able to climb higher. These are the truths that God is revealing to us when we study the books. Now, here's a list, okay? Think fast. I'm going to read them quick. Wrong types of judgment. Superficial judgment is wrong. Passing judgment on someone based solely on appearances is wrong. John 7:24. It is foolish to jump to conclusions before investigating the facts. Proverbs 18:13. Simon the Pharisee passed judgment on a woman based on her appearance and reputation, but he could not see that the woman had been forgiven. Simon thus drew Jesus' rebuke for his unrighteous judgment. That was in Luke 7:36 to 50. How about hypocritical judgment? Hypocritical judgment is wrong. Jesus' commands not to judge others in Matthew 7:1 is preceded by comparisons to hypocrites, Matthew 6:2, 5, and 16, and followed by a warning against hypocrisy, Matthew 7:3 to 5. When we point out the wrongdoing of others while we ourselves err or still doing it, in the same way, we condemn ourselves. Romans 2:1. Judgment is wrong when it's harsh. Unforgiving judgment is wrong. You will never change. You will always be like this. You are not a Christian. Stop coming to church. You go to church, but you're still evil. Harsh. We are always to be what? Gentle toward some people. The ones we like. Towards everyone. Titus 3:2. It is the merciful who will be shown mercy. Matthew 5:7. Remember? And as Jesus warned, in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Matthew 7:2. How about self-righteous judgment is wrong? We are called to humility. God opposes the proud. James 4:6. The Pharisee in Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector was confident in his own righteousness and from that proud position judged the publican. However, God sees the heart and refused to justify the Pharisee's sin. Luke 18:9 to 14. And worst of all, untrue judgment is wrong. If you make it up because you're just ticked, you're just tired of it, you're going to kill them now. The character assassination is real. Untrue judgment is wrong. The Bible clearly forbids false witness, lying, defamation. Proverbs 19:5, slander no one. Titus 3:2. The full body of Scripture should be carefully examined for comprehensive meaning and understanding of judging others. Amen? This is why I brought this up. We were just studying two verses, James 4:11-12. But for some reason, because the world says, don't judge me, only God judges me, then we stop. We cower, right? Even though we have good intentions. So we go back to the question, are we supposed to judge another believer? Remember the answer? No and yes. The second part is yes. Here we go. Please give me your ear. The first answer was no, when it is done with all those things we just mentioned. But look at Jesus, our Lord, and what he told us about judging. Matthew 7:1-5, do not judge so that you won't be judged. For with the judgment you use, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, you will be measured to you. Why do you look, here we go, at the speck of your brother's eye, but don't notice the log in your eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and look, there's a log in your eye. Hypocrite. First, here we go. Here's the yes. You can judge another believer if you take your log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Proper judgment with love. Proper judgment with love, meaning you yourself have gone through that challenge that they are facing. You yourself have fallen into that sin yourself in the past. And you yourself know the consequences of that sin. If your brother or sister does not stop, do not stop. You're there in love and telling them, you need to stop. You are trapped. You are trapped. Jesus' command not to judge others is one of the most widely quoted of his sayings. Even though it is frequently quoted in disregard of its context. Here is Jesus' statement, do not judge or you will be judged. Many people use this verse in attempt, this is why they will use it, to silence their critics. Interpreting Jesus' meaning as, you don't have the right to tell me I'm wrong. Leave me alone. That's what they're saying. Only God can judge me. Hey, I'll be so scared. That is the truth. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it will be God that will judge everybody. And if you're doing something wrong, my goodness, you need to heed. Because the worst enemy to have is God himself. Amen? We stop playing with him. We need to stop playing with him. This 2024, we need to take God seriously. And they use this verse. They use this verse. You think you're perfect? As a pastor, I'm not. I'm not perfect. Far from it. This is why I pleaded with God, don't choose me, Lord. I have such a heavy bag behind me. My closet is full of skeletons. And you know this, Lord. Don't choose me. Because that's the first thing. When you're trying to admonish, you're trying to help, and they know your past, they're going to say, kala mo, what, you think you're perfect? And I tried to talk to my nephews when I was in California the last time I was there to see my dad. And I was trying to advise them in regards to women, because they, you know, they're both young boys, teenagers, you know, they think women is everything, you know. And I was trying to tell them, like, hey, you know, you got to keep yourself pure. That's not really the thing. And then my cousin, their mom, automatically jumps in and says, wow, what a hypocritical statement, Georgette. Your past is far from what you're saying. And then her wife's eldest son said, it's only hypocritical, mom, if Tito is still doing it. And then he looked at me, are you still doing it? No, it's been 5 days. I'm kidding. It's been a while. John, did we line up the life insurance for me? Judging, right? That's the proper way to judge. Make sure you're done with that sin. You recognize they're in trouble, they're committing the same stupid thing that you used to do, go in. That's the right time. Do it in love. Matthew 7, 15 to 16. Because this is, I'm using this verse because God told us to be discerning. Amen? When you're praying for wisdom, you are praying for discernment to identify what is good and what is not, to do what is good and what is not, to not do what not what to say. I'm confused. But here, we are to beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? This tells us that we Christians, true Christians, must be discerning. Now, you cannot be discerning You cannot know what is right and wrong if you are not studying His Word. Amen? I was in the hospital with Jamie. I was visiting her. I felt like I was there for 3 weeks, I think, or 4 weeks. I met and spoke to the nurses there. I know what was plugged in there, you know. But it didn't make me a nurse. If I really wanted to study nursing or know medicine, I should go to school. As Christians, you coming here, you're learning the Word. But you're only here for, what, an hour and a half or two? And you're out there for majority of the time. And Sister Deborah, this, praise God that at least one person read the Bible from cover to cover. You know, and I praise God because that is the only way that you can truly learn what God has in store for you. And this is how you're going to identify the false prophets. If there's a false teaching, you'll hear the wrong doctrine, wrong teaching. The Holy Spirit will say, that's wrong. And you're not going to say, oh, I can't judge. Oh, no, you're supposed to judge. If you went in the wrong church, you know, you have to say, ah, not good. So we are to judge the right way. And that is to judge knowing that we ourselves are no longer doing the sin that we are seeing our brother and sister are doing. And this is the command. Look at Galatians 6:1. Brothers and sisters, someone in your group might do something wrong. You who are following the Spirit should go to the one who is sinning. Help make that person right again and do it in a gentle way. Not a harsh way. Gentle. But be careful. It says here, there's another section there, but be careful. You might be tempted to sin too. What's that? What does that mean? That sometimes we pride comes in our heart. You know? We made a right assessment of a brother or a sister and they are sinning. And then we say like, you know, hey, you're sinning. And then all of a sudden pride comes up in your heart. And then you walk away from that feeling so good about yourself. Like, dinner. I think he lost his salvation there. Be careful, because the moment again you put your judgment because you helped them and then all of a sudden you're feeling high and mighty, you've stumbled. This is why there's a need for believers to belong to a church. Being a part of a fellowship with other believers is just that, right there. Accountability. Amen? I know when you're not here. I don't know why, but I do. Because it's not a congregation made out of 300 people. And if I miss that you are not here, somebody else will tell me. They will be at the prayer meeting and they're going to say, have you spoken to Brother Edgar? I haven't seen him for 2 Sundays. And you're like, oh, you know what? I thought he was there. It's so small, the church body, a small church body, it's not easy to hide. It's easier to hide in the big churches, right? You go in, you out, boom. You got your blessing, good. But in a small church, accountability matters. Ephesians 5:11, have no part in the things that people do, that people in darkness do, which produce nothing good. Instead, tell everyone, you see this? This is judgment. Tell everyone how wrong those things are. Evaluate properly, guided by the Holy Spirit, with all humility and gentleness and love. You say, guys, we need to stop talking about this. I know you got hurt. I'm sorry, but we need to just end this conversation. This is not coming up. And that is not resulting in glorifying God. And you cannot do that. You cannot do that if you're not humble. Because pride, right? Proverbs 27, 5-6, open criticism is better than hidden love. You can trust what your friend says, even when it hurts, but your enemies want to hurt you, even when they act nice. Now, there's a love song, an old love song, say, I'll always have you on my mind. Right? You know, always have you on my mind. But never got to say it, but I always had you in my mind. You know, I don't. That's not going to go far with Anna. If I'm just going to tell her, if she ends up getting mad at me and I say, you know what, babe, I really had it in my mind to take you out and to be nice to you. I always had it in my mind. That's hidden love. She will say, well, you never did it. I can't read your thoughts. Thoughts without action is just that. It's just a thought. So how can you be a loving Christian if you will not say that your brother and sister is falling into sin? How can you be a loving person if you will just say, let me just pray for them. I'll just pray for them. I'll pray for them here, and then I'll chismis here. Right? You're too coward to confront the person, but you're so brave in telling and making up your team. Listen up, team. This is what happened. This is what he is doing. You see this? And then he comes along like, hello. Bye, pastor. The pastor. Open criticism is better than hidden love. That's judgment with love. If you see me doing something wrong, you will show your love to me by telling me. Amen? And I do the same. Thoughts doesn't count. Thoughts don't count. That's just a nice Hallmark greeting card. It's the thought that matters. No, not. No, you're cheap. He didn't want to spend the money. Thoughts don't count. So these things we as a church, we always say it. And we adhere to the Word of God. Amen? This new year, this should be one of your resolutions as a Christian. That you will stop slandering. Stop participating in slandering. Don't let the enemy use you for his kingdom, for his ploy. Don't be part of his team. Matthew 18, 15 to 20. If your brother or sister in God's family does something wrong, go and tell them what they did wrong. Do this when you are alone with them. You see, you first do it alone. The opposite is what we're doing. We create a team, right? We call for a board meeting of everybody who hates Joe. Do you hate Joe? Come here. Do you hate him too? Oh, come here, come here. I have more to add to that. Come here. Right? No, we are to come. Go to the brother or sister. Hey, listen, I don't know what you meant by this. I was hurt. I was stumbled by your action or inaction. I'm being stumbled by your exercise of sin. And I want to help you because I feel like you're trapped. Isn't that more loving? Is that more Christ-like? Because if you don't tell them they're sinning, you're condoning the sin. Remember the sin of omission? Those of you who know what you are to do, yet you don't do it, it is sin. If they listen to you, again, if, see, you don't force them, we can't force them, amen? If you're older than 20, you know you can't force anybody to do anything. You can just cut them off. Cut them off from their allowance. No more gas. You pay for your own gas. No more food for you. You don't eat. That's all you can do at the end of the day. But if they listen to you, then you have helped them to be your brother or sister again. Now, if we will take this whole instruction and those two verses from James, right? Those two verses from James. It will seem like you cannot say or should not say anything. But we established that, right? The first part of the message. There are the no's of judgment. If you're doing it but you're still doing it. If you're correcting them, but you yourself are still sinning. If you're too harsh, right? If there's no real repentance on your part too, the hypocrisy part, but there is a need for you to judge someone if you're approaching it with love, care, gentleness. Amen? We Christians, we heed to the full counsel of the Bible. It means that we believers of Jesus Christ have the full responsibility to walk in this life properly for ourselves and for others. Amen? Yeah, because we are not to judge others. We are to judge ourselves first. So what does that mean? This is my closing. What does that mean? If we are to judge ourselves and not judge others, if that should be the focus, then we should be the one telling ourselves if we are falling. Amen? No one else has to tell us too. Do we agree? If you know you're not supposed to yoke with unbelievers, then don't. Don't wait for somebody else to tell you. If you know that you are not supposed to get drunk, then don't. Don't wait for someone else to tell you. If you know you're supposed to be attending church, yet you're not coming, then don't wait for anybody else to tell you. Just go. Amen? But if you know that a brother and sister is just trapped, you have to say it with love and care. Amen? That is our message this afternoon. Thank you very much for your patience. As the praise and worship team make their way up here to sing the closing song, if you have any decisions you want to make this evening, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and have a full new year spending it with Him, this 2024, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. If you have been attending this church for quite some time and God has impressed it in your heart or in your mind that you are to belong to this body, please come up so we can recognize you. Or if you just need prayer. Again, I said this many Sundays ago, don't come to church and not be prayed for, especially if you have a prayer need. Please come up so we can pray for you. Amen? Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you for the truth, your truth. I pray for our hearts, Lord God, that it would receive it and that we will be able to make sense of it in our minds. Help us now, Lord God, to obey you. Strengthen us, empower us, encourage us to live this life, Lord God, this coming week. Father, I pray for those who are sick. I pray for healing for them. I pray for broken relationships, Lord God. Please, Lord God, restore it. And I pray for those who are lost. I pray that they will surrender their lives to you. And I pray for those who have stumbled, Lord God. I pray that you just help them and remind them of their need for you. All these things we ask in your Son's sweet and mighty name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And all the Lord's people said, amen, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.